Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. I am Haley Clandenning.
I'm Maurice Brown.
I'm Sarah Chapin.
Woohoo! She's got really cute blue hair right now, you guys.
Yes,
so
does.
Cute.
I'm very blue.
And she cut
so
it.
So cute. I know, a lot of hair. But yes, anyways, we are also joined tonight by the lovely Anna Hayes.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. It's so good to see you. We were just talking about how it's been a while since one of our last vision development meetings a while ago. Yeah. I haven't been able to make it to any of the, I think there's only actually been one recent one since then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very small group.
I missed a ton, but still. It's been too long, dear.
Yes.
And
exactly.
You have a very wonderful spirit. I don't know, you just have this light that you bring to a room, so it's always lovely to be around you.
She does. It's like the angelic vibe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's very nurturing.
And calming.
I just get this, like, I just want to hug her more.
Probably the way you speak, too.
Right?
Well, thank you, ladies. And believe me, I love the hugs, and I appreciate them so much.
Heck yes.
More people should do it.
Right? I mean, to each their own in this time, but we're huggers, okay?
Yes. Yes,
but Anna, you've done a lot. I actually don't think I realized that you've written books.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. But Anna deals a lot with grief recovery and becoming a better, stronger you. And I'm curious, kind of, well, I have a lot of questions. So hold on, let me slow my roll. I was about to just dive right in. How's your Tuesday been, first of all?
Actually, fabulous. So I did have to take a nap today, but I've been busy upholstering cushions for my mom's new patio swing and chairs. So I have those are my stress relief is,
nice.
You know, building and stuff like that. So
how fun.
It is fun. I'm
I need
a good
to,
time with it.
You're going to have to teach me some things.
Absolutely.
I need to make some covers for cushions. So, but I'm glad that you're having a good Tuesday. I hope everyone out there tuning in is having a great week so far. It's just kind of starting off, but we're almost halfway there already.
Yeah, seems like it.
Goes fast.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully everyone's acclimating a little bit to the heat.
I like the heat.
No.
No.
I don't really mind it, but I swear, we just spent the weekend in Monterey, so.
Oh,
nice.
That was really nice.
I bet.
And then coming back to this, I was like, wow, yeah.
I live here.
I do. It's always a little challenging. But yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Definitely want to get a little bit of background. We haven't had the opportunity yet to interview you, so we need to get a wee bit of background about who you are, where you're from,
okay.
How you got here to Reading.
Yes.
If you're not from Reading.
Yes and no,
okay.
Kind of. I actually was born in the mountains of California, but mostly California. I grew up in my younger years in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. I actually moved to Reading when I was in junior high.
Okay.
We moved in with my grandparents, and so, you know, that was after my dad died.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was... Needed family, needed to be around family. So I was here kind of off and on. I, you know, tried other little things throughout there and was here off and on until I joined the Army. And
we both just did the same thing. What?
Don't remember that.
But and swore I'd never come back to Reading. The day I turned 18 was February, I was senior in high school, and I was like, I am so done. So I quit high school. I went down. I took my GED. I joined the Army and swore I'd never move back here. 30 years later, this is right where I'm back.
Oh, my gosh. I love that, though. So you were like, well, first of all, it must have been a little bit of culture shock coming from the Bay Area back up here at that age.
Not
I mean,
really.
No?
Okay. It's because I spent every summer up here.
Okay.
Between
so
here with my grandparents and then up in Burney with my cousins and stuff. I was here every summer, so it was already something that I was used to.
Mm.
I was used to the culture. I loved the lakes. I loved the mountains. But at the time when I was, you know, I was working three jobs up here as a senior in high school, just trying to make my car payment. So,
oh
which was
gosh.
Only like $120.
Thanks. So you were like a busy chick, though, then.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's amazing. Because, see, I think, I mean, I only obviously have my own childhood to really reference, but, you know, I played sports, so my mom was always like, you get your grades and you do your sports, and then you can worry about working later on. Mm-hmm. So you were very much a go-getter. No wonder you were kind of like, school, who needs it? Let's finish this, take a test.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
I mean, have you always been that independent?
Pretty much. Well, and, you know, you're asking about family and how I got into grief, and, you know, I was 7 years old when my two-year-old little sister was killed in front of our house down in the Bay Area. And was kind of the start of my journey. And so...
Oh, yeah, we got to back it
sister?
Up there.
Yeah. This is your younger sister?
Yes. Yes.
You were seven?
I was seven. She was two. My other sister was six. So it was very traumatic. And back then, nobody ever thought to help children mm-hmm. through grief. You know, everybody was working with mom and dad type thing, but nobody thought about us.
Wow.
Who really have even a harder time processing things like that
right.
than adults do.
But what we felt is, you know, with mom and dad going through their grief, and this was my stepdad who later adopted me, but it was like we felt abandoned. We felt like we no longer had our parents because mm-hmm. they were so far into their grief. And so we just started doing our own thing, basically. And both of us ended up in funeral service.
So you kind of raised yourself, with school and everything and your jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, I was going to ask that, like, who told you to have three jobs?
I just, you know, I felt like, and my mom kind of always raised us to be a little bit independent, you know, mm-hmm. But when it felt like they weren't there anymore, it became a necessity.
Well, it's amazing what even as children, when you aren't conditioned necessarily to do mm-hmm. that, it's almost like that fight or flight syndrome. You know what I mean? You realize that, like, well, you just have to kind of grow up and do things on a different level.
Well,
and that's so early, though, to have to...
It is. And in some ways, it's unfortunate. But in other ways, it really helped shape us to... you know, do things, get through things, and manage ourselves.
Well, I feel like some people would also, because that's the positive, I feel, but there's also the other way, which is some people would turn to drugs or, like,
that's
you
true.
Know, bad habits or bad, like, you know, just friends
right.
that are
yes.
not good for you.
Rather than dealing, they mask.
I actually even have that in my book because another family member, asked me one time, you know, how are you not a complete alcoholic or drug,
mm-hmm.
drug addict
mm-hmm.
with all that you've been through? And I'm like, well, because I just know there's always something good around the corner. And you have to keep looking at that. You have to keep looking at what else is good.
I love that.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful for a seven-year-old to understand, though, too. You know what I mean? There's adults that don't get that, so...
Yeah,
anyway.
You're definitely born with it. It's innate.
Yeah.
It's in you.
Wow.
You.
Well, we definitely need to obviously... I can't believe we jumped over that, Missy. We have to get a little bit more of your background then when we come back from the break because it definitely helps, you know, guide us into who you are and what you've experienced and why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we are about to hit our first commercial break. And, of course, we want to mention our amazing sponsors who make this show happen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. And remember, everybody, support small businesses, our local businesses. Linda Lingo, financial coach. Linda inspires and guides women to clarity and confidence in their finances. Jesse Baldwin, certified health coach. She offers health coaching services. Her phone number is 530-355-5929. Bargain Books and More, located at 836 Butte Street. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6 p.m. She does book trades as well. Everbloom Skincare at 660A Azalea Avenue. Results Driven Facial, Natural Acne Clinic, Botanical Based Non Toxic Skincare.
Yes, Marie's does skincare now.
I'm trying. My skin does not like skincare.
Well, you have to go through the time frame. It's got to get used to
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it's part
I know.
Of the process.
I'll give it a chance.
I need to call her. I want to treat my sister to a little something. She's
yeah.
just been so amazing. So anyways, like Marie said, make sure you guys to get out there and support our local small businesses. We definitely, they need your help right now, especially,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of them that are still open. So
yeah.
throw on a mask if you need to.
Yes.
Do what you got to do to feel safe.
Right? I love that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't mask support these businesses.
If you don't,
stop complaining.
But yeah, get out there and support small. We will be back here shortly on the Women of Vision show here on KCNR.
Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Women of Vision show here on KCNR. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Tuesday so far. It's been a good week.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm prepared to have a tissue for you.
Oh, I just stopped talking earlier. I was like, turtle.
It might be one of those days.
Yeah,
or
no.
Interviews.
I didn't think about it. I didn't bring any tissues. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, there's just a paper towel right there.
I'm just going to let it free flow. Why not? We are sitting down talking with Anna Hayes, who is the author, too. I didn't mention that before, of Governing Grief, Becoming a Better, Stronger You with Grief Recovery. Anyways, if you guys already caught the first segment of the show, we're talking a little bit about her history and where she, you know, how she came to be here back in Reading, and a little bit about what you've been through. mm-hmm. which is pretty intense.
Yeah.
So lost a sibling as a youngster, which is challenging to cope with.
Yes.
How did you, you know, you talked about then going, that obviously helps too. I understand a little bit more of your independence that you were talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of talked a bit about you going, dropping out of school, finishing your GED, going mm-hmm. to the military.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll kind of jump back in a little bit there okay. and see how was that experience, first of all?
Things had been so unscheduled and there was no, after my little sister was killed, there felt like there was no security. So the military offered me some security. You know, I knew what I had to do every day. There was no surprises. There was no chaos.
Is that why you gravitated towards it, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Most definitely. You know, I needed that schedule, that something that said, this is what you're going to do every day. And, you know, occasionally we'll have you do something else, but you knew you had to get up at a certain time. You knew you had to go to bed at a certain time. You knew what your duties were. And you were in that space no matter where you were,
gotcha.
You know, no matter where they sent you. So it was that schedule that I longed for, because until my little sister was killed, we always had that kind of a schedule. After that, I never knew what was happening the next day. And then when my biological father was killed when I was 13, that really set everything off in a whole new and different way, because he and my mom were actually getting back together. She had divorced my stepdad.
Okay.
And, they were working things out, and they were going to be getting back together, and then he was killed. And so it sent my mom into
a tailspin,
an absolute tailspin,
mm-hmm.
and you know, us girls too. So that's when things got really bad, and we ended up moving up here. And but it still kind of wasn't real, you know. But I found throughout all of this that no matter what, I mean, everybody grieves differently. We're all individuals. We have our own individual thoughts and feelings, and we grieve very differently.
Mm-hmm.
So whether, you know, and I know pretty much everybody knows all the stages of grief and everything, but sometimes you'll only feel one of those stages.
I was gonna say, doesn't mean you hit them all.
Yeah.
And then other times you'll feel them all mm-hmm. at the same time. So, and it's not that the sadness or the hurt ever goes away, because it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't. I mean, my dad's been gone since 1978.
Mm.
I still get mad at him once in a while for not being here for my grandchildren.
Mm.
You know, just the thought, what would it be like if they had their grandpa?
Right.
I would actually like to know the stages of grief. I've never heard of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
enlighten us, my dear.
Yeah.
In my book,
I should just buy
I actually,
book.
I just took a photo of it, because I feel like there's a few people that I could gift that to.
Mm-hmm.
But in the book, most people talk about just the five stages of grief,
mm-hmm.
and it's gone on where there's been more added. I prefer to use the seven stages,
mm-hmm.
merely because it's a little more encompassing about, because the five stages of grief were actually written about terminal patients.
Okay.
The whole thing that came from the five stages of grief was written in regards of how terminal patients go through their grieving process.
Okay.
And so a lot of people will push that away and say, well, this has nothing to do with the death of a loved one. Well, yes, it does, because we're still going through that grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the seven stages, you've got shock and denial, pain and guilt, anger and bargaining, depression, reflection, and loneliness, the upward turn, acceptance and hope, and reconstruction and working through. And so those last two, the acceptance and hope and the reconstruction and working through, that's what I focus on
right.
when I work with people. So generally, I won't take on a client until it's been at least a year after a death because they have to have time to go through all of that, and they're not going to want to work on redefining their lives at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very few will want to deal with that in the first year of their grief. The first year is the hardest because there's all the firsts. You know, first holidays without them, maybe a wedding or a birth happened during that time and they weren't there to experience that with you. But, you know, they're always there in your heart. They're a part of you. Mm-hmm. Spirit doesn't die. Energy doesn't die. So that's always going to be with you. But you still have to go through those stages of grief. You have to feel those things. You have to have the time to do that. You know, I see people post a lot on social media that there's no time limit on grief. Mm-hmm. Well, there isn't. Grief is something that's going to be with you forever. It's how you work with it and move through it. You'll never move on, but there are ways of working through it. Mm-hmm. And allowing yourself to continue having a wonderful life, but you still have to take that time to actually grieve. So when my son died, he was killed 10 years ago in a horrible accident, and I was in school. I had gone back to school, and I was in college getting my psychology degree, and I beat myself up for months because that day I was working on my final for the neurological psychology of the brain, and I had to turn it in by midnight. And something in my heart kept telling me, just stop and take him to the movies, you know, just spend the day with him. Mm-hmm. And I put that thought away, and he was bored. The other kids were at friends or at, my daughter was at work, and I told him, you know, go for a walk. He loved to walk. He would walk or ride his bike or something, you know, 4 or 5 miles a day. And it was the first nice day we'd had it was a week after Christmas.
How old was he?
He was 20. But he also suffered from tuberous sclerosis, which caused autism, Asperger's, seizure disorder, communication difficulty. And so he was considered an adult disabled child. Mm. And so I just told him to go for a walk. So he figured he'd go for a walk and spend some of his Christmas money. Well, you had to cross the train tracks where we lived to get into town. And in crossing them back, he went into a massive seizure, didn't get far enough away from the tracks before the train came and sucked him in.
Oh.
So, you know, for years, I knew that my son probably wouldn't live long into his 20s, but I never expected him to get hit by a train. It ended up being kind of a blessing in disguise, because when they did the autopsy, they found that he was actually developing brain cancer throughout his entire brain. So, you know, my thought was, he never felt what happened. He never knew what happened. It happened instant, and there was no suffering.
But you didn't realize that till years later after you've been beating yourself up.
Exactly. Well, no, it was a few months later, and my thought was, you know, I'm the one that sent him for a walk. This is my fault.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I would be like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
most anybody does. Everybody deals with some kind of guilt.
Mm-hmm. It's so heavy. I wish we didn't have to have commercial breaks right now. Because how do you pause and come back to that? You know what I mean? Goodness gracious, though. Woman.
Well, it's heavy, so we need a break.
Yeah, that's a good point. We do. We do need a quick break. So we are going to mention a couple more of our sponsors, and then we will definitely return back to our conversation with Anna. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah Mitchell with Oils for Young and Healthy Living. Michelle Lane Coaching is a transformational facilitator of Elevate Workshops and Retreats for Women. Lit from Within, located at 2449 Athens Avenue. They do organic spray tanning, infrared sauna, light therapy, hip-hop, Pilates, kids yoga, dance, and the works. Bev Gray with Servita, all fired up at 1796 Churn Creek Road, pottery painting, life casting, board art, clay prints, and infused glass workshops. Master Intuitive Life Coach, Dana Grant. Hit her up, you guys. She's on Instagram and Facebook.
Absolutely. We have so many wonderful people that sponsor and help our show come to life. So we really appreciate all of you guys, and
Thank you, lady.
Yes, make sure to go out and support all of your local businesses. This is the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. We'll be right back.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family-operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband, Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. And we, you know, it is a heavy conversation that we're having. Mm-hmm. But I have to say I'm very grateful and thankful that we're having this conversation because I feel like due to the heaviness of the topic, mm-hmm. it's something that is not normally discussed.
That's very mm-hmm. true.
You know, people shy away from discussing grief mm-hmm. and loss, and everybody wants to... I mean, I'm guilty of it, too, you know. Oh, I'm so positive. It's rainbows and kittens. And
right.
That's great, and it is. But at the same time, I think it is very important to honor all of the spectrum of feelings
yes.
in our life, and they're inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Anna, by the way. This is Anna Hayes, author of Governing Grief. And she is. We're just discussing that and loss and how do you move through the stages of grief and loss to continue to still live a fulfilling life and not get stuck in those patterns.
It takes work. It takes work. It's mm-hmm. not something that just happens. One thing that I really didn't, just a quick thing, about 4 months after my son was killed, my husband was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And he died 5 years after my son. So he's been gone 5 years now. that's why I came back to Reading. I needed my family. After, when my husband was diagnosed, it's like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I need to go home. Yeah. And we had buried my son here in Reading in the family plot. So because I knew we weren't going to stay where we were actually planning on moving back to Arizona. So, but it's like, I needed my family. I needed to be the only place I considered home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because we moved around so much that Reading was like my
kind of like your home base. Like
yeah,
the,
home
the,
base.
Where you could come back to.
I could always be back here with Grandma. Of course, my grandparents had both passed away by that time, so it was weird coming home and not having them here. Mm-hmm. You know, my son's buried right next to both of them. And I actually ended up getting a job at the funeral home where he's buried. So that's what I came back home to. Both my sister and I ended up in funeral service. Because, and especially with my dad's funeral, I was really angry about what was done, not just to him, but how the family was treated. And I swore that one day I was going to make that right. I didn't think about getting in funeral service. That actually came quite accidentally.
Okay, I was going to say, is that something that you had been, like, had done before? Or?
No. Okay. Actually, it was my sister started it. She was doing full-time daycare. She ran a full-time daycare.
Oh, bless her heart.
And she had three of her own children. I had two, and, you know, they were all babies at the time. But she decided she wanted to go back to school. And she was actually taking pre-med. But she was scared. She was so afraid that she would actually hurt somebody, you know, by accident. And, I didn't have my daughter yet. My son was 7 months old, and that's when Little Mermaid came out. We loaded all the kids in the back of my Jeep and went to the drive-in.
Yes.
I love
my God, she had a Jeep and they went to the drive-in. Yes. Lady after my own heart.
So had this big Jeep Cherokee, and we just loaded up baby stuff and opened up the back and watching Little Mermaid. Well, when the chef is chasing around the little crab and he says, I stuff you with bread, it don't hurt because you're dead. My sister stops. She goes, that's it. I don't have to be a doctor, because I'm afraid I might do something wrong and hurt somebody, but I can help people with their funerals and I can't hurt anybody. So she changed her major and ended up becoming basically the top embalming restorative artist on the West Coast, and she runs her own business.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. And works funeral homes throughout the West Coast. And I had just gotten laid off from my job. I was looking for work. They did the big corporate downsizing. I lost my management position, couldn't find work. And she's like, well, I can offer you doing, you know, some work being on call at night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And so next thing you knew, I actually started selling funeral insurance because I felt it was really important. I became an insurance agent. I thought it was so important for people to pre-plan their mm-hmm. funerals because mm-hmm. it made it so much easier on the families. It made it so much easier. And I had pre-planned my funeral when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
Some little girl came knocking at my door and said, hey, you know, I'm selling funeral policies. I'm like, girl, have a seat.
Oh, my God. The
way my family goes.
Yeah.
Because my dad, 5 months before he died, his mother had an aneurysm and died at 53 years old. Then my dad was killed in a skydiving accident 5 months later. 3 years to the day that my grandmother passed away, my dad's youngest brother, who was only 21 at the time, I was 16, was killed in a car accident. And then the middle brother died the month that I got pregnant with my daughter. So
no wonder you were like, sure,
yeah.
Let's talk about this.
And
jeez Louise.
So I had her come in. I pre-planned my whole funeral. And I thought, because at the time I worked at a nuclear generating mm-hmm. station in the radiation department.
Yeah.
You never know.
Colorful
I could actually answer to that because my grandma, mm-hmm. she recently passed. She pre-planned her whole thing like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the family's huge. And it just made it so much easier.
It does.
And it was such a peaceful thing because no one was like, fighting over whatever.
Well, or worrying about the costs or figuring out how you're going to pay for this or what do you do with that. Because it is, I mean.
And the burial, too. Like, she did everything.
Yes.
And no, she was like, important. Placed herself next to her husband. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, my gosh, right. Grandma, we love you.
Yeah. Yeah, my
Still,
mom.
In your death.
My mom is kind of like, now she's that. She's going to be the first of us that's kind of gotten her ducks in a row, as you would say.
Nice.
Because but she, we've dealt with a lot of loss, too, as far as her, my uncle, her brother, my grandfather, my grandmother, all in a pretty, you know,
short amount of
close
time.
Period of time. And no one was really particularly prepared.
Right.
So that's a lot of pressure to put on your family.
It is.
You know,
is.
To deal with.
Well, not only does it allow you to actually put down your wishes, you know, this is what I want. So there's no fighting. There's no arguing. It is a legal binding contract that the funeral home needs to abide by. And but it's easier on the funeral director, too. So, you know, because as a funeral director and, you know, sitting with the families, sometimes you're dealing with a lot of anger.
Oh,
you're dealing with extreme sadness, depression, hurt, pain. And
a confusing
time. It is. And, you know, oftentimes it's scary and it's sad, but families will fight right there, you know, and you have to ask one to leave so you can, you know, and then it's horrible. But it happens. It happens.
Sarah's like, I can.
My younger sister passed away like at 26 last year because of a car accident while I was in Europe. And I was her power of attorney. And she, of course, already had a will because we were just kind of nerds that have everything prepared already. And yeah, like it's helpful to have that stuff because having like legal will and everything stuff, my parents tried to fight me and do an open casket funeral because we're from the South. And I was like, no, she wants to be cremated.
Right.
And have a memorial service. And like, it, like, went to court. Like, it was a thing.
Oh,
and, like,
my goodness.
It's really important to have it so prepared because that's what backed me up in the end and got to do what she wanted. So.
Well, and it's about fulfilling their
wishes. Their
wishes,
exactly.
Especially when you're young, you don't think about that. You don't think, like, oh, this could be me.
Oh,
You think long life. So it's very important, especially at a young age, to get that stuff in.
So that's how I started out in funeral. I started doing removals at night, part-time. Got my life insurance license, started selling funerals, and then when that wasn't, they changed the program on that, and I wasn't making enough money to live off of, so I became a funeral director and then a manager. But
well, I hate to, like, we're gonna have to do like a whole nother interview because we're already coming up again in a couple minutes.
Yeah,
on our
we
next
haven't
break.
Talked on her
and
book.
I was gonna say we need to get to where we're at today and what it is the amazing work that you're doing today with people because quite frankly. I was saying it's not a fun topic.
No,
it's not something that people really want to deal with or accept or really probably work with people with either. I feel like it's
something
that we internalize
out.
A lot, or feel like we should be dealing with it on our own.
Right.
When that's probably one of the topics that you need the most help.
Yes.
To deal with.
And I'm guilty of that myself, of holding my feelings inside because I didn't want my family to hurt. You know, by me talking to them about how I felt.
Right. So you always put on a brave face
to
kind of be the tough one for everybody else. Because if you lose your, you know what, then everybody else is going to too then, right? So anyways, we before we even get on that topic, because we are creeping up and I don't want to cut you off at all, we're just going to go ahead and mention the rest of our sponsors before we hit our next commercial break so that we can talk a little bit more about what it is that you're doing now so that we can help some people
Absolutely.
Here.
We have a few more ladies. Thank you. Ladies from Reliefs Trading. It's 100% USDA certified organic hemp grown at Whole Circle Farms in Oregon, USA. Their signature product is the Reliefs Deep Freeze. It's pain relief spray in small batches, lovingly crafted to bring you the relief you need. Max Mallory with World Financial Group, life and health insurance agent.
Apparently, we should be hitting him up.
Oh, yeah, him and his mom are amazing.
Well, and we're talking about life insurance, getting your ducks in a row.
That's another part. Boheem Salon and Spa, located at 961 Dana Drive, Suite 130. And last but not least, Sarah Marie Spectrum, our resident unicorn. She helps you find the magic in you through her creative photography and videography. Any promotions coming up, Sarah? We just did our photos last weekend.
I know
not
she's
really right now.
Girl.
I'm really excited for Halloween. I mean, hopefully we could have that. But
yeah.
Do you do newborn photos?
Yes. And I do, like, all sorts of fun stuff for Halloween, so.
And she does everything.
Well, she's going to do the maternity for you, right? I can't wait to see the product.
Yay. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so a lot of projects coming around. She's quite busy, actually.
She'll make time for you.
Yeah, I'm glad I got her.
Hit her up.
For a little bit there.
But anyways, yes, thank you to all of our sponsors, and we will be back here shortly on the Women of Vision show here on KCNR.
Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Welcome back, you guys, to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. We are broaching, actually, this is odd to say a lovely topic, but it kind of is, because we all got to deal with it.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, we are talking with Anna Hayes, who is the author of Governing Grief, and she's also, I mean, would you call yourself a grief counselor? Or
coach. What,
okay, grief coach.
Coach.
I like that better.
Yes. I'm not a counselor, and the reason why is because a counselor basically gives you direction and lets you go. Counselor's great in certain respects. A coach is on your back. This is what you need to do. And it's more of a interpersonal relationship than a counselor.
Yeah. Right.
Counselor sounds very academic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot more clinical, I feel, you know. Yes. So, but we are just discussing kind of a little bit about your path to where you got to where you're at. Which obviously has prepared you for your current career, which is helping people deal with grief. Because you sure have gone through a lot, my dear. Well, I mean, more than your fair share, I think.
I agree. I agree completely. But you know what? It's like I said before, I feel like God put me on this path because something not personally experienced, it's hard to understand someone else's feelings. You can't really get a good idea of how to help someone unless you have experienced yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's hard to be relatable.
It is. You know, you can be compassionate, but you still don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
But that's true even in this case. Another mother lost her son the same way 2 years before mine, mm-hmm. within like a couple of blocks of each other.
Oh, my.
And, you know, I can't compare my feelings to her feelings.
Right.
I mean, he was her only child. She had no other children.
Oh.
I had other children at home. I also had a husband, and she didn't. You know, she was single. The boys were the same age. It was just, it was a freaky thing. It was like three in a row that happened like that. And I talked to these other two mothers, and I thought, you know, I can't compare my feelings to you. I know what I feel. But my relationship with my son was different than your relationship with your son, mm-hmm. and your relationship with your son. So, you know, there's thoughts and feelings there. You still can't compare. Mm-hmm. Even though we can relate mm-hmm. with each other better than someone who has never lost a child, we still can't compare.
Right.
Because everybody's, like I said, everybody's an individual. Everybody grieves differently.
Yeah. Do you have... Go ahead, Marie.
Oh, I'm just saying, plus our level of maturity and personal development, spirituality.
Absolutely.
You know, just, you don't know where every person's at.
That's right.
I was going to ask, is there a certain criteria? Sounds like such a strict word to say. But, like, how do you choose people that you take on? I know you had mentioned earlier that they have to at least have been within a year of their grieving process to kind of go through some of the steps and feel some of the feels.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you look for or any clients that you've turned away?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
I've learned being in funeral service. I mean, I'm a Christian, but being in funeral service, I had to learn just about every kind of religion and culture that lives here in California. And I didn't work just in California. I worked in states all throughout the United States. I did 5 states at once on the East Coast.
Cool.
One time setting up a new aftercare program. So, I don't like working with someone who has absolutely no faith whatsoever. And the mm-hmm. reason for that is because they have no hope. There is nothing you can help them with because without any kind of faith, they have nothing. They have nothing No anchor, nothing to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're taught in just about every religion, and like I said, I've studied a ton of them,
mm-hmm.
but in just about every single religion, there's a teaching that there's an afterlife and there's a better place
mm-hmm.
that we go. So basically, if someone tells me, well, I don't believe, then I can't work with you because
right.
nothing I'm going to say is going to help you.
Right.
Because my teachings, my thoughts, my experiences, they're all faith-based.
Well, it's beyond your scope, too. Then you could just refer them to somebody who is specialized on that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do have some people that I refer people to. I also... And I know this sounds sexist, but it's not. I won't work with men.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because in that grief process, men tend to cling and turn the professional relationship into something that it shouldn't be. And I've had quite a few men that I've talked to. I mean, we've talked. But they've all come back and told me, yes, their feelings were turning to that because of my compassion, but my compassion wasn't meant to be, you know, their anchor of intimacy.
Right.
So I don't work with men. I am actually talking, you know, I do have a couple of gentlemen that, you know, if someone is really looking for someone, then I can direct them in. But I do take people based on an interview.
Okay.
And if I don't feel that we're going to work well together, then I'll refer them out. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want someone coming to me and me not being able to help them just because they're not clicking with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the good thing about being a coach as opposed to a counselor, because a counselor has to take anybody that comes in the door.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, I work with people on their individual levels. It's just been recently in the last year, and Sarah was part of my little promo program, but I'm having a hard time actually putting a full program together to where I could help more people at a lesser cost because the grief is so individual.
It is. It's not a pretty little package that you can group, like, here's these five people that are feeling this particular way, I can work with them, and then there's these five over here that... It is very unique.
You know, just doing that little promo thing that Sarah was a part of, you know, and I had maybe 10 women, you know, I wanted to keep it small so I could really gauge what was going on. And they were all from, you know, different age groups, different backgrounds. You know, each one of them had a very different story. And I think Sarah was the only one in there that had a recent family death. Everybody else, it had been a while. So... There was very little, it was hard to gauge where everybody was coming from, but that's why I wanted to do that little promo, is to see how I could schedule it. So I'm working with a business coach now, and we're working on how to work that out with doing a basic guideline with videos and workbooks, but also having, you know, just like weekly sessions, which I used to run the bereaved parents group here in Reading until my husband got too sick and I had to leave, and then I got injured, had to have surgeries. Then I was taking care of my grandkids. Now I'm taking care of my mom. So it's a constant thing, but I find that when I keep busy, that it just makes me happier.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm helping somebody, that's what helps me. And that's why I love doing what I do. Because even though I can't work in funeral service anymore just because of my injuries, I miss working with the families. Mm-hmm. I really miss working with the families. I've got so many letters and cards, and I've kept them all over the years. I even have a couple of people that I did funeral services for, a family member that was like 20 years ago, and we're still friends. We still talk. So that's important to me. It's important to me to be able to build that kind of relationship. And also, you know, if I see a client walking down the street, I can walk up and say hi and give them a hug. As a counselor, I wouldn't be able to, wouldn't be allowed to do that. And although I keep a level of confidentiality, I can still go and say, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? And they can introduce me to their friends or family. Hey, this is my friend. They don't have to say I'm their coach. They don't have to say I'm helping them through their grief. They can just say, hey, this is my friend Anna. But I can still approach them as a coach. And that helps build a trust that you lose in grief. You tend to lose trust in grief. You lose trust in your own feelings. You lose trust with friends and family because of, you know, issues in regard to estate or wishes or whatever.
And I'm sure even with your faith,
Yeah, absolutely.
It stirs you up.
Yes, it does. So those are a lot of the things that I work on. And the number one thing is building that trust, validating their feelings, no matter what kind of feelings they're having. It's their feelings, and it's valid.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing right there, is validating their feelings and putting them on that journey of trust.
Well, you're definitely in the right business to help people, because you are so kind and caring, and
thank you.
Yeah, you're very compassionate. So anyways, we are about to wrap it up here, my dear. We need to know where we can find you, all of your information, and also, do you have any upcoming events? I know you have some personal stuff going on, so maybe not, but we do need to know where to find you on your website or your book, please.
Yes.
Really quick.
The website's very simple. It's annahayes.life.
Okay.
And there's a reason why I picked the life part, because I work more in building their lives, rebuilding their lives, and redefining, you know, their work. So it's annahayes.life. It's H-A-Y-E-S. My books are on there. I've got, I just put out a new booklet that's on there to help with funeral services and estate planning and stuff. So that's on there as well now. Right. And my numbers and everything. I am not taking new clients at this time because I am scheduled for surgery. So I probably won't take new clients until after the first of the year.
Well, definitely get out and get that book, you guys. And hit her up after.